going to discuss share-based payments.
Good morning, everyone. Compass, the factory school is one of their projects on the board's research agenda. The board added this project to its agenda after the agenda consultation in 2011. Throughout 2015, staff performed research for this project. More specifically, we tried to understand application issues that arise in practice. We also tried to identify what are the causes of those application issues. We presented the findings of the research to the board in November 2015. In the agenda paper 7, you can see the summary of the research findings. And I think you also have the full paper as well. The board will decide on the future of this project later this year, after all the agenda consultation responses are analyzed, I mean for the 2015 agenda consultation, which is for the purpose of our meeting today. Before the board decides on the future of this project, we would like to get your views on the questions in the agenda paper 7. Page 1. So, short introduction, so basically that's the story of this paper and the research project, and we would like to get your input, what you think we should do about this project in the future, and about that first question.
Noble.
Thank you. We support the ISB undertaking the research of this project, but we are concerned with the interaction with the FICE project. Depending on how the definition of liabilities and equities come about, maybe we need to change, and we don't want to see IFRS 2 being amended and then seeing another change after the conceptual framework is amended. So we want to see a sequencing of the projects.
Tricia?
Well, we are very concerned about IFRS 2 because it's one of these standards that keeps on coming up for rebuilding. And so what we're proposing, based on information that we discussed earlier, is that we should look at a post-implementation review in this case, because we do think we need to get behind what is the real problem. Is it a conceptual problem? Is it a practical problem? We don't support simplicity just because it seems like a nice idea. We want some good economic basis for it. And we support Nobu's view that there is going to be an interaction with the FICE. We talked about the disclosure requirements, and understand there's a Dutch study in Dutch that does provide academic evidence of a lack of proportionality in the disclosures, that maybe that could be looked at. And although we don't apply IFRS for SMEs in Europe, concerns were raised that that needs some very serious reconsideration in this area, because most of the information you'd need to value your share-based payment is simply not available. So if you give us a post-implementation review, then we'll tell you all the problems in graphic detail.
In looking at the paper and the issues that were brought up, it seems like it might be important to figure out, if you were to take on a project, exactly what the objective was, because if the concerns were concerns about complexity, some of the solutions seem, or potential paths, seem like they wouldn't be responsive if that is in fact the concern. So for example, moving from grant date to other dates, like for example a service date model, might actually introduce greater levels of complexity, having to evaluate awards on either a daily basis, if you decide people are providing service daily. What do you do with forfeitures in a service inception date? Do you end up with the same questions about the counterintuitive results that some people assert? Do you reverse even though the service has been provided? If you move to a later date, for example, the date the award is earned, you end up with similar questions about should you measure differently the amount of change in value that relates to service versus the change in value that relates to movements in equity? And now you have to do both dates. You have to do a grant date measure and a later date measure with all of the same questions about complexity. So it seems if you're going to take on a project, if the project's nature is to address complexity, some of the solutions don't seem responsive. If the project is about greater decision usefulness, maybe some of the solutions would be responsive, but they would add complexity.
Cédric?
Thank you. Just wanted to to remember, as you mentioned it on your website, that the ANC carried out some research on that topic between 2008 and 2010. ANC suggested two way to simplify the IFRS 2 standard. One is called the unit of service approach and is relatively close to the current grant date fair value. The main point which has been developed in a paper at that date was that the grant date fair value would be used without the catch-up method. That means that in the case of vesting condition not met, there would be no correction, retroactive correction of the past. And the main advantage of that option is that it eliminates all the anti-abuse clause in the standards, which were alleged of being contra-intuitive and not conceptually based. So I'd suggest just in if we reopen that topic, which was not one of the priority we addressed in the agenda consultation, but since we have performed a few years ago some research work on that topic, I think there are interesting ideas in that paper.
Rebecca?
Thank you, Howard. I guess one thing we find within Canada is that we do have a range of sized entities, and often for development stage entities that do not have resources, they are very creative, as the staff have noted, in coming up with new types of incentive-based arrangements. So as a result, we do appreciate that the complexity and would agree with the feedback that you've received. But what we will say, and as Jim touched on it, the decision usefulness of that resulting measure, while it's not significant often, it is one that stands out. And many we hear from boards of directors is just how useful is that information. So from that perspective, we would be supportive of saying this is a project that's a priority. But similar to Nobu, we would think it would be best addressed within the FICE project, because today using a grant date methodology for measurement is common for all equity instruments. So from that perspective, we'd want it to consider it, but do express the concerns that to try to provide a more relevant measure, you are looking at subsequent measurement, and that does add complexity. So it is, to Jim's point, trying to decide what is the problem we're trying to fix. Did want to just mention, though, from there was a comment within the paper relating to the number of issues we've heard, and you know, Patricia referred to doing a post-implementation review. I guess what we're a little sensitive to is if there is that type of view, or that it's being considered in a FICE project longer term, that any ongoing issues would not be considered. And our challenge is in this area where there is complexity, when people do face issues and preparers and auditors are dealing with it, that they do continue to be considered through IFRIC and other avenues, that we just don't set a high hurdle and defer that type of issue when it is something people are facing. There may be other steps, though, that could be considered, which would be providing guidance on some of the methodologies. We understand that many kind of defer to using a simple Black-Scholes model when other models could provide a more accurate measurement but aren't done because they do think it was more effort. So if there was guidance, there might be kind of an in-between step that could be considered.
Kimberly?
We did some limited outreach, talking to mostly people from the large firms, who of course are the ones that tend to deal with this in practice. And the feedback that we got is acknowledging, I think, really that there's the two sources of complexity that's in place in RDO, which is, first of all, the complexity of schemes themselves. It was noted that, particularly for key management personnel, a lot of the schemes are very bespoke, and people are very inventive with the types of schemes that they come up with, and that is something that obviously the ISB can't really do anything about. It's just the reality. The other source of complexity, as you've noted, comes from the grant date model, or at least in terms of some of the issues there. But there didn't seem to be appetite for moving away from that. They didn't, you know, they acknowledged that the reasons for choosing that model in the first place continue to exist, such as we don't remeasure equity and those sorts of those reasons. So there didn't seem to be an appetite for wanting to move to another date, recognising also that would introduce new complexities. It was also noted that a lot of the application issues that have arisen, IFRIC has obviously done quite a bit of work in terms of addressing those issues, and it was felt that it wouldn't be possible to reduce complexity without a fundamental reconsideration of the standard. And as I said, there didn't seem to be any appetite for that. And it was felt that it would be better to wait for things to settle down, given we've just got the last round of amendments coming through, that it would be better to leave it to settle down before considering anything else. I think other comments also were noting, and you know, that the standard was obviously very controversial when it was developed. And I guess a personal comment here, while I would be nice to think that memories have faded and we could sort of move on and focus purely on let's work on improving the operability of the standard or improving the decision usefulness, that would be great. Are we confident that would indeed be possible? And you know, is there a solution that actually people would sign up for and say, yeah, that's great, this is an improvement, without really reopening quite fundamental issues? So I guess there's a concern about whether you end up spending a lot of time and resources and actually not necessarily come up with a workable solution.
I think who was the staff person who gave us IFRS too?
like as you, Nadia asked me at one point, what would I change? I said, well, everything there was there for a reason. I think the one area that people did highlight that could be looked at, and I think this has been touched on already, is around the disclosures. And people were suggesting that, not in the context of an IFRS 2 project, but in the context of the disclosure initiative. So there is a lot of prescriptive, detailed disclosures that were introduced at the time, for reasons at the time, but perhaps those reasons no longer exist. And in the context of the disclosure initiative, it could be time for an overhaul as part of the, you know, that would be a candidate for the piece of the disclosure project that's going to look at reviewing existing standards. And I think, in fact, in the board's discussions of the disclosure initiatives, that's one of the standards that have been highlighted that might be a candidate for a relook. So that would be an area that we felt that could improve without reopening the standard.
This is a consistent message we keep receiving about disclosures, and I trust this specifically.
One heat.
Yes. Most AOS members agree that there are many complexities as noted by the paper, and also agree that without changing the fundamental principles in IFRS, it would be impossible to reduce those complexities. And regarding the direction of the project, as other members just mentioned, some AOS members cautioned that other projects, such as FICE project and conceptual framework project, would affect the IFRS 2 project if the board were to undertake the project.
And one member also cautioned that amending IFRS 2 fundamentally could lead to a divergence with US GAAP. But having said that, as members gave a low priority to undertaking this project. And one more point is that reading the paper, I was a bit uncomfortable about the steps description in paragraph 18 of the paper. The paragraph says that the board and the interpretation committee should have a very high hurdle for adding more IFRS 2 issues to their agenda. It sounds to me that the board can arbitrarily apply agenda criteria rather than based on the defined agenda criteria. I believe that the same objective criteria should be applied to potential agenda items on IFRS 2.
Thanks. While echoing a lot of comments that were mentioned, I found it curious that one source of complexity was not even mentioned, and that's the difference between equity settled and cash settled, which was the number one root cause that was mentioned in my jurisdiction. So, and I think much of the complexity that was really added boils down to that issue. Now, I clearly agree with all those that said I don't want to see share-based payment principles being divorced from FIS, but equally I don't want to see them divorced from general financial instruments accounting. So the question is, which of the projects do you set as a starter from which the others will follow? I think most around the table have said complete or work out in your principles on FIS first and then derive principles for share-based payment. Obviously you could also take the other way round and develop share-based payment and take that as the trigger for thinking further what you would do in the FIS project. And if I just recall in the discussion paper to the conceptual framework, I think there was some innovative thinking about remeasuring part bits or presenting remeasurements on equity instruments. So that might lead a path forwards to taking some of the complexity even for share-based payment out of the equation. If you stop saying you basically freeze the amount on an equity settled share-based payment on grant date, but you just keep on updating and therefore retain the symmetry between equity settled and cash settled. That is not to say that I'm clearly advocating that outright, but I think we ought to mention it when we talk about the sources of complexity that are involved in share-based payment. Generally, I think I'm quite where Patricia and Noble were in the sense that we have seen so many amendments and so many questions with the IFRIC. I think this is a prime candidate for a post-implementation review. On the other hand, I note your point that a post-implementation review need to be bounced off the current other work in the FIS project and in the conceptual framework. So it's really a matter of sequencing so that you set the right anchor as a starting point. Is that the conceptual framework and you wait what's happening there and then devise FIS and then go share-based payment, or do you set any of the other ones as the starting base and develop the principles for the other two? It would be unfortunate if you did all the same or all of the projects at the same time and end up in different directions.
Mary?
Just a few reflections thinking about the different factors and the different comments around the table. I think it's quite useful to hear the challenge to the idea of having kind of special agenda criteria for IFRS 2 issues and the encouragement to think, you know, just filter them in the normal way using the existing general agenda criteria, both at the interpretation committee and the board. I think in terms of the interaction with FIS, certainly, and I'm looking to Steve in case he has any corrections on this, but certainly as the FIS work started, the inconsistencies between some of the classification guidance in IFRS 2 compared to IS 32 has been noted, and as we work on principles in FIS, I think there is a periodic compare and contrast. So we're aware of, but not just going to say, an automatically consequential amendments to, you know, to whichever one is out of track. So it's in mind and being thought of as we start to work forward, but it's not a we absolutely must conform, because the board was very conscious, and it notes this in IFRS 2, that it reached it identified an area of essentially net share settle that is inconsistent in terms of classification between IFRS 2 and current IS 32. And I think being careful about opening, you know, being aware of it, but being careful about opening it up is the right level of caution. I think I've also heard consistent message about a high level of concern about the extent of disclosures, and some ideas about whether that's an IFRS 2 project or a principles of disclosure, you know, follow on, or, and whether there'd be some help from additional clarity around the materiality. But I do have an overall concern that, and I say this as a for my sins, you know, former specialist in IFRS 2, that if you get a group of people, especially accountants, around the table and say, tell me what your problems are in this area, you can find lots of problems to raise. But I think the challenge for all of us is saying, when you step back and look across the agenda, is this in the top five of things that, you know, you're concerned about? Because my sense of the flow, and I certainly don't want to curse it by saying this, is that there was a big ball of issues that people raised, many of them very narrow, and it was to some degree arbitration between different views coming to the interpretation committee. And most of those have worked their way, and the last couple are about to work their way through in finalization of amendments. Kimberly, I think you referred to, you know, letting things settle down. And there doesn't seem to be a cliff, an overhang of a new wave suggesting further issues. I think it is a good challenge to say, if you've got a standard that needs a lot of amendments or a lot of maintenance, you might want to look at what it is, both about the specifics of the standard and maybe learning for the general process. But I have a concern about kind of saying, yeah, PIR would be a good thing, because if you get all of your stakeholders to provide input, they expect you to follow up. And I'm not sure that kind of implicitly promising follow up by doing a PIR is the best use of the overall resources. So that's kind of what I'm personally struggling with.
Could I ask a question about the PIR as well? Because it seems to me one fairly natural way forward with this would be to make the paper or the contents of the paper available to the public in some reasonably accessible way and seek some feedback on the conclusions in some format. And there's a variety of formats we could choose. I think a kind of full-blown PIR wouldn't necessarily add very much to that process. I mean, the conclusion in the paper is basically there's probably nothing worth doing at this stage. And we could seek feedback on that conclusion and feedback on the underlying thinking without necessarily sort of embarking on the whole PIR process at this stage. Having seen the paper and read the discussion, those of you who've talked about doing a PIR, do you think that would add much to the process? Do you think that would add value at this stage, or do you think we'd be better off seeking feedback on the work that's been done so far?
Andreas?
I'd probably say the latter. So I understand your points in not raising a full-blown PIR at this stage. I think the concerns that we have heard is just it would be better to have a structured process to be followed, whether it's PIR or whether it's by making this paper accessible to the broad public seeking feedback, rather than amending the standard on a piecemeal basis. I think that's the key comment, really.
Patricia.
Yes, I think we'd be in the same view as Andreas. What we're trying to stop is a fix here, a fix there, a fix there. Is it a fundamental problem? What can we pull the issues together and do and fix it so that the IFRIC can find another hobby instead of IFRS 2?
Well, I think the conclusion in the staff paper would be there isn't anything that's worth pulling together at this stage to be doing. And so the conclusion of that would be do nothing for the time being unless new issues emerge.
Initiate nothing.
Yeah.
Can I just ask a question for Jim? because IFRS 2 is a largely converged standard, even though it's not 100% converged, but it's based upon US GAAP. Have you heard anything of the criticisms that are in this paper on your US GAAP equivalent? Are you planning anything to do on share-based payment?
We hear similar criticisms, particularly from our private company counsel. Private companies in the U.S. follow the same standard. They've spent a tremendous amount of time looking at whether, and their concern has been around complexity more than necessarily decision usefulness. And they've been full circle to come back to very, very targeted amendments to U.S. GAAP that allow for, one, our treatment of deferred taxes in share-based payments, continue the notion of APIC pools, which is not the IFRS standard. So we've made amendments to actually draw closer to IFRS as it relates to the treatment of tax benefits, some very narrow amendments on the classification of awards between liabilities and equity for obscure things like tax withholding and the treatment that we provided. But we have not made fundamental change. I think similar concerns about not getting in front of a project on distinguishing between liabilities and equity, with a concern that the feedback would be any change there would be thrown right back at us in terms of being inconsistent with the treatment of instruments held by non-employees. And then we've gone sort of full circle on concerns about the difference between cash-settled awards and equity-settled awards, and whether it's really a concern, at least in terms of complexity, because entities, at least in the U.S., go out of their way to ensure they don't get liability treatment. So it would be odd that they would think that liability accounting is easier, yet go out of their way to avoid it. So we've sort of come full circle.
Alexander? We've got a slightly different opinion from people in Brazil. Especially, they don't see this project especially complex compared to the other IFRS. So they say that should not be a priority to simplify it. So should be other priorities. What most people do is, I believe it's not in your agenda at the moment, is that most people disagree with the concept of IFRS 2. But this is not the point, I believe. You're not challenging fundamentally the So I'd say, well, if we could spend some time on that, we should rewrite the standard from the start, not try to simplify it.
One more reason not to reopen.
I have to tell, sorry.
Okay.